Spirit Life CNS Church invites you to join our programs where the Word of God will transform your life for better. Our programs are as follows: Sunday service, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesdays, Bible studies, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Our monthly VGOs every last Friday of every month by 10 p.m. to down. Business and Leadership Summit every quarter of the year. Prayer and Prophetic Summit, second Friday of every month, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. under the leadership of the Presiding Shepherd, Prophet Cheru of Badari. Worship with us at Spirit Life CNS Church, opposite Wando Filling Station, beside Olashem Filling Station, Iwo Road, Ibadan. Telephone 081-3252-9517, 070-1927-7557, 00-6732-5748. Website www.spiritlifecns.com. Come and live the Word of God by proof. Your life will never remain the same. Jesus is Lord.
They make people look at the account in Hebrew chapter 11. What men who were not even faith being did with faith, how much more we? Men who were not new creation, what they did with faith? They stopped the enemies. They shut the mouth of lions. Faith. See, this faith thing is beyond just saying, I know I believe. No. If you see the report in Hebrew 11, it was more of what they do with faith. The account was more with what they activated, what they achieved. They achieved a lot. So it was not like they said they had faith. It was, we saw the result of what faith did. What was written about Samson, it was written about Gideon, it was written about Rahab, written about, mention them. We saw what they did with faith. They did something. So it was not just the record of their faith. It was the record of the exploit they made by faith. They had a record. They had results. They made exploits by a faith life. Say after me, say faith life. Faith life is the greatest life you can live. It's the best life you can live. Where you get all things. See, collect those things that were not as though they were. Faith. Praise God. So, looking at the scriptures in Romans 1 and verse 17, for the righteous shall live by faith. The Living Bible says, from start to finish, the righteous survives, he lives by faith. He triumphs by faith from start to finish. He said, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live. What he's saying is that the natural being has died. Human being that you see has died. But Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. So I died the natural death. The natural man died. When I woke up into a new life called the life of faith in Christ. In Christ. Say after me, say in Christ. Say by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Praise God. Say life. A life of power. Say life of exploit. Go and check the scriptures. All the men who live a faith life, they had results to show. Show me a man who has faith or who lives his life on faith, by faith, through faith. I will show you a man with exploits and proofs. I will show you a man with results. Faith is not just a proclamation without manifestation. Faith is not just a confession without exploit. Faith is, it is more of an evidence of a proof. He said, the evidence of things not seen, the proof. Faith is more of a reality. It may not look like it at the beginning, but at the end, you will always have results. All the people that walk with God by faith, they produce results. And that's why their results were written in the Bible. That's why we make reference to them today. You make reference to their life of faith. Why? We were able to point at the results. We were able to point at their exploit. So to the measure, to the proportion that you understand this faith life, it is the same degree that you will produce results and make exploit. And that's why it is important that in the new creation church, we don't joke with the understanding of faith. Why? It is that same proportion we will produce. There are people who believe that if they are sick. They believe that Jesus died, though they were not there. But they did not believe the part that Jesus can heal. They will go to heaven. They believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so they are saved. But the part that Jesus can provide financial prosperity by faith, that part, they can't believe it. So that area of their life, they are shortchanged in that area of their life. Because that part have not been explored by faith. They cannot believe God. How dare you believe the part that's talked about heaven? You believe heaven. You believe the part in the scripture that spoke about hell. But you don't believe the prosperity side. And that's why it's possible for a believer to still be poor. It's possible to the degree of his faith understanding. To the measure, to the proportion at which he understands faith. Now, Kenneth Hagin, he had challenges. He left pastoring. He pastored for 15 years and later God told him that he did not send him to go and pastor. God told him to go to the field ministry and he started the field ministry. And so there was no salary coming in again. He was not, you know, pastoring any church. So God now told him that you believe me for healing. The same faith you have for supernatural healing, apply the same understanding on your finance. He struggled for financial breakthrough. He had children. He has his wife. He could not pay his bills. He said, so as he was studying, he said, haven't you received healing? God healed him of a deadly heart disease. God now told him, the same faith you had that disease was healed. Apply, channel the same faith on your finances. Simple. And so he began to believe God for financial breakthrough. And so as he was going about preaching, anywhere he goes, they take offering for him as the minister. He's called honorarium. And so he needed some amount of money, particular amount of money, to send to his family, to pay his bills, the children's school fees and all that. And so when he went to preach, he was confessing his faith for finance. And so as he began to pray, I said, God, I believe you for so. He mentioned the amount of in dollar. He mentioned the exact amount. I said, God, I believe you for so amount of money. And so he went for that meeting. When he went for that meeting, after the meeting, normal offering that they would take for a minister, they took it for him. When they took the offering, the pastor of the church called him and said, even our own normal church offering is not as big as this. It was the exact amount he needed to pay all his bills. Was the offering they got, and they gave it to him. Now, look at it. He would have continued to suffer financially. He would have remained broke if not for that understanding. And so faith is applicable anywhere, anytime, any day, 24/7. Faith is applicable to any phase of your life. There's no phase of your life that will not respond to the command of faith. There's no phase of your life, marriage, career, business, finance, whatever phase of your life will respond to the command of faith. It will respond to the command of faith. Just put your faith in God. It will respond. And so, we have come to a point in our life where we think there are things as believers that we don't need faith for. But can I talk to you? You need faith for everything. It's a faith life. You heard what Paul said. The life I now live in Christ is by faith. The way he said he was dead, he's crucified. He does not live in his own life again, but like the same when you came into Christ, the same thing happened to you. So you now live a life that will produce all things only by faith. Only by faith. So there should be no phase of your life where you will think faith is not applicable here. That is where we make mistakes. When it comes to marital areas, God doesn't choose wife for people again. Faith does. No, don't bring faith. This is business. Don't bring faith here. This is calculation. We calculate. You know your profit. I'm sorry for you. There's no place. As far as except you are, why are you called believer? When you say a believer, your name in Christ is called believer. So if you are called believer, everything will work for you by believing. So for you to act outside of believing, you have gone outside of who you are called. So things can't work for you that way. So if you are called a believer, You are to believe. You live by believing. So when Kenneth Hagin said, when that first miracle happened, that was where he started. Can I talk to you? One of the men God used as a prophet that brought the teachings of financial prosperity to the body of Christ is Kenneth Hagin. And this man was once broke. He was once broke. People like Kenneth Copeland learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Copeland, I was listening to Gloria Copeland yesterday. They have given out 24 jets. Not that they bought, they have dashed out 24 jets as seed donations. They gave out 24 jets because they met a man who understood faith for everything, even for finance. One of the areas where believers are suffering today, where they think faith is not applicable, is in the area of money. Because we always believe that money is what you get, is a reward for labor. It's a reward, the wages for labor. And so you believe you have to labor, sweat, and struggle to get it. But people got it by faith. Praise God. They got it by faith. So look at it. Look at how God brought that phase of his life. This is a man who had received healing. How can somebody believe God for supernatural healing but cannot believe God for financial prosperity? Same faith. Because he doesn't understand that faith covers for everything. As far as a believer is concerned, everything is by faith. Everything is by faith. Try to do anything by faith as a believer. I promise you 100% success. Faith had never failed. It can never fail. It has been proven. It has been proven again and again and again that faith does not fail. If faith fails, something happened. It is not faith. It could be willpower. You know, I was teaching on Sunday. I took that hope, we say, I will get it. That's the statement of hope. I will get it. Hope. I know I will get it. But faith says, I've gotten it. Let the sick say, I am going to be healed. That's hope. That's why the Bible says it is the evidence. You are not hoping. You are already having evidence. Let the sick say, I am healed. Does he still have fever? Is he still feeling fever? Yes. But he got it. Even though, listen to me. Don't interpret your faith by your feeling. Don't interpret your faith by your feeling. Faith has nothing to do with how you feel. Faith is more real than your emotions. It's more real than your feelings. Praise God. I don't know if you get what I'm teaching today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith life, power life, life. Listen, it has not appeared what we are going to do. Yet, listen to me. The things that will happen through our hands after we understand these things. Blind people we see. Lame we walk. The man who moved in the miraculous in the first church, in the early church, that their shadows were healing people, raising dead. They were doing the unimaginable at will. What is the difference? Why are we not doing the same thing now? It's nothing than the understanding of faith. They understand this thing to a point that they were ready to die believing. They were ready to die just believing. So it was, if somebody was ready to say, I believe, death cannot even stand on their way. Tell me, is it sickness that will stand? Is it poverty? When they believe God to a point and say, there's a death means nothing. He said, even death, sickness, famine can't take this thing away from us. Say after me, say faith life. I just felt like reading this account of Paul again and again. Praise God. The life I now live in Christ is by faith. The life I now live. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith. The leaning of your entire personality on God in trust, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother. How does the faith live? Permanently. Permanently. This is Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. He was telling him, I know your history. I know your family background. That you are faith people. I am calling up memories of your sincere, unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God, in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am persuaded dwells in you also. Apostle Paul said, I know that same faith is in you, Timothy. I remember the history of your grandmother. What is Apostle Paul saying? Apostle Paul had heard of the testimonies of the family of Timothy before he knew Timothy. He heard the exploit that the grandmother did with faith. He said, and of your mother Eunice. So you could see that Paul was like a grandfather to Timothy. Timothy was a very young person, an upcoming pastor. Say, I could remember of the faith that lived permanently in your grandmother. How come Apostle Paul remembered? Why? They made exploit with that faith. There was something to point at. They did not just say they were believers. They had result. Their faith had evidence. Their faith had proof. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the proof. He could point, so he remembered that his grandmother and his mother were faith people. He said, so, and I know they have passed it on to you. He said, I know, I am persuaded that the same faith dwells in you, Timothy. So Paul was confident of what his mentee will do after he leaves. He was confident that Timothy will achieve so much, knowing that that same faith his mother and his grandmother explored is in him. Say after me, I live a faith life. I cannot fail. I live a faith life. I cannot be frustrated. Nobody that lives a faith life have failure as a result. Nobody in the Bible context, nobody lived a faith life and the result they show is failure. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. Praise God. Are you there? He says in verse 6, that is why I would remind you to stir up. Say after me, say stir up. Rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning. That's the meaning of stir up. The gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying of my hands, with those of the elders at your ordination. Apostle Paul is saying, I know that faith dwells in you. That's why I am reminding you to keep the fire burning by that same faith. By that same, what keeps a believer on fire for God 24/7 is his faith life. By that same faith that dwells in your grandmother Lois and Eunice, your mother, which I am persuaded is in you, Apostle Paul. Stir up. Stir up. Rekindle the embers of. Fan the flame. Faith makes hot 24/7. The flame keeps burning. Faith is the fuel. Faith is the fuel that supplies your life with constant flow, fire. You are always hot. Faith life. That's a faith. A man of faith is a dangerous man. The devil does not want to dare. A man of faith is a dangerous man to the devil. A man of faith is a dangerous man. That's why the Bible says, if you have faith, you will tell mountains to be lifted into the sea. Can you imagine that? Look at the structure of a mountain. No man, no any dynamite to explode. You know, if they want to break a rock or a mountain, they will put dynamite and they will run far and they will be breaking it gradually. He said, by the word of faith. It means the word of faith is more powerful than dynamite, which is from the Greek word dunamis. That's where we get dynamite, which is power. So it means faith is more powerful than putting dynamite to lift the mountain. He said, you will speak to the mountains and the mountains will be lifted. Faith power, faith life. You will speak. And so, another word for faith is power. In fact, there is no power where there is no faith. So anywhere you see manifestation of power and you can't find faith, it is fake. There are all manner of power manifestation. If it is not a faith expression, it's fake. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you, by means of the laying on of hands with those of the elders at your ordination. By the laying off of my hands, when he was impacted, the anointing came upon him. But Apostle Paul tells him, it is faith that will help the anointing to keep burning. It is faith that will help the anointing. A man can be anointed. The way to release the anointing, the channel, is called faith. Every one of you here, you are anointed. A servant of God could be anointed for healing, and they will bring a sick person to him and he can't heal the person. Here is a custodian of the anointing for, but it takes it to unleash the anointing out and extend it to the sick. And that was why Apostle Paul was telling Timothy here. He said, when the gift, the gracious gift that came upon you by the laying of my hands, keep it burning by unleashing it, releasing it. Perfect. Philemon 1 and verse 6. That the communication of your faith might become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. You can't, it doesn't matter how many men of God lay hands on you. You will do no exploit if you don't have a faith life for yourself. Listen to me. You can only believe for yourself. Your faith is for you. Your faith is for you. That's why you see most of the people Jesus met, he asked them to believe. When he ministered to them, the word he ministered to them is called the word of faith. The word supplied faith to them. So when the word supplied faith, knowing that they have heard the word, he asked them to believe. So what the word of God does, as I'm teaching now, there's a stirring in your spirit. There's a stirring. As I'm teaching, it stirs the faith life. If there's a man who is not born again here, what the word does as the word is being preached, it supplies faith. So it doesn't matter from where the man is coming from, the level of his unbelief, except he will not sit down to listen. But as he sits down, the word is spoken. As the word is spoken, faith is supplied. Faith cometh by hearing, it is supplied. But for a man who is already in Christ, the word steers it. Word steers it. And that was when he said, keep the flame burning, keep the gift that is upon you, fan it, and all that. He was talking about a life of the word of faith. It was the same Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity of cowardice, of craving and clinging, fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power. God has not given us a spirit of fear. The attack on a believer is the spirit of fear. The attack on your faith life is the spirit of fear. That's the first thing. That's the first arrow the devil shoots. That's why that book in Ephesians chapter 6 says, he said, with the shield of faith, that you may destroy the fiery darts. The shield, the cover of faith. So the first arrow the devil shoots in the direction of a believer is fear, to make you not to believe. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Hardly no book of the scripture that you will not see fear not. Now look at this. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity. Timidity is to be ashamed. There can be low self-esteem and no self-esteem. There are people who don't have any, they don't believe they can become anything. They don't believe, no self-esteem. No self, they don't believe they can become. You know when you say low self-esteem, there's still esteem. No self, they don't believe they can become anything. They are just the way they are. Just want to, just live by. Just live by, praise God, spirit of timidity. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. That's a faith life. You are courageous. You are bold. You are bold. A righteous man is bold. A righteous man is a courageous man, because the righteous lives by faith. And faith brings courage. Praise God. Now look at it. But he has given us a spirit of power. The spirit of power is the spirit of faith. In fact, listen to me. The product of faith is power. The real source, the root, the fountain of power is faith. Go and see all the men that wrought miracles, that moved in dimensions of power. They were called first men of faith. It was their faith exploit that produced power. So what does that mean? Invariably, every believer is a custodian of power, because faith is what engineers power. It is the spiritual mechanical force that produces power. The way you put fuel in a machine and the exhaust start releasing energy and power, faith is that fuel. So God gave us the spirit of power, which is faith. If you look at from where Apostle Paul started by talking about the faith in Timothy. That was what brought about all this. The faith that was in his grandmother Lois, the faith that was in his mother Eunice, the faith that Apostle Paul was sure that it was in Timothy was what brought about all this. So he was giving him a breakdown of what that faith is capable of doing in him. He was giving him a breakdown of what should be expected of him as a man who believed, as a believer. Praise God. Listen to me. Unto whom much is given, much is expected. Much has been supplied unto you. Faith. Much is expected. Much is expected. I'm telling you the truth. God, when God looked at us, there's a lot of expectation on your life. Because this same faith given to you, some people use this same faith. The Bible said they wrought miracles. They put the enemies to flight. Joshua said, let the moon stand in Gibeon and the sun in Ajalon until we kill the last enemy. By faith, they alter nature at will. Can you imagine? So there is nothing that cannot respond to the command of faith, even the moon and the sun. When Jesus walked on water and said, let the storm be still, the Bible says the disciples marvel. They say, even the wind obeys him. What was the wind obeying? The expression of faith. Any other man who had faith like Jesus, it was not because it was Jesus. It was not because, listen to me, Jesus told the wind to be calm. And they were marveled. Even the wind obeys him. The sea became cool. The sea had he stood on it. He stuck to it. The sea was calm. Joshua. Now, do you know that the Hebrew meaning of Joshua really means Jesus? Yeah. Another way to say Jesus is Joshua. Yeah. Joshua. That's why you see the Hebrew people calling me Yeshua. Yeshua. Yeshua means the anointed one. So Joshua literally come. So it was nature that responded to Jesus. Was it not the same nature that responded to Joshua? So if the Bible says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible unto him that believeth. It means if it was not Jesus, if any man who had faith had asked the wind to be calm, it would have happened. Same way. Hello? It was not because it was Jesus. It was because it was faith. Behind it was faith. Behind it was faith. Tell me one thing you can't achieve with faith. Mention it, and I will tell you you're a liar. Mention one thing that you say, sir, this is impossible with faith. All things are possible unto him. Listen, the scripture doesn't lie. This scripture has been written over 2,000 years ago. This thing I'm quoting to you, men have used it. Listen, this was what Smith Wigglesworth read. One of the men that worked in a faith movement, a revolution of faith life, is Smith Wigglesworth. All things are possible unto him that believeth. He heard it. He said, even me, a plumber, literally in his lifetime, I can't remember, he woke more than 10 dead people in his lifetime. I was reading the history of church. I was studying the history of church. And I began to see that by history, there will be more great accomplishment, more exploit in the end time in our days than they have had since the beginning and the beginning of the history of the church. Before Christ we come, things that beyond what the likes of Apostle Paul did, beyond what happened in the early church, when people were literally healed by the shadows of men, is what was going to happen. There's going to be a total sweeping in the earth time. There will be literal move of God on the surface of earth. Men will see it. Why? It's going to be a final harvest to call men, to bring plenty of people. Because people will never believe you until they see you move in these dimensions. So I began to understand by that history that we have not seen anything yet. I was telling myself when I was studying, say nothing has happened. And so that's why when you say yourself, I'm a minister, you have not done anything. Don't deceive yourself. Listen to me, we are not there yet. We have just started. Tell anyone, we have just started. Tell anyone, we have just started. Tell anyone, you have not seen anything. I've not seen anything. Things will happen by faith. Yes. This is my hands. We raise plenty dead people. I'm saying my own. You better say your own. This one has nothing to do with pastor or prophet. In the end time, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon how many flesh? All flesh. Yes, he did not say I will pour it on pastors or prophets. He said that we are talking about a peak of spiritual revolutions. Where ordinary church members like this, my young brother, we go out and call blind person who is begging on the streets and say, come here. Just like the man at the beautiful gate was begging. Say, come. Say, we sliver and gold we have, but we have a faith life here. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. These are things that you will literally see on the street happening. I read this. This what is a prophetic thing. And we are in it already. We are in that prophetic move of God that the earth has never seen before. That believers will hit the streets of a city. And people will get, there will be churches on streets. Clubs will be turned to a revival ground. Hotels will turn into healing center. Because if you walk down to Iwo Road now, and you just stand at that roundabout, and call one lame person, call one blind and deaf, and touch them, and the three of them start jumping. Before you know it, the whole of this place will close up. I'm telling you, in less than 30 minutes, there will be a roadblock here. Because people will gather. I mean, I'm not talking about gimmicks here. I'm talking about what will happen through the faith life. Why? We already carry these things. We are custodians of power. Why is this power not going out? We have not understand this faith thing the way we should understand it. We believe God for heaven, that we will make heaven. But we don't believe God for financial prosperity. The same faith that brings healing is the same faith that brings financial prosperity. Is the same faith that, listen, the same faith that made you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Is that same faith you need to heal anybody? When the disciples were asking, how big should our faith be? Because they thought you need big faith for miracles like raising the dead. Jesus said, if your faith can be as small as mustard seed, you will tell. He now began to use physical and material analogy. Mustard seed is so tiny that if one seed of the mustard seed falls on the ground, you may not see it. He now says, if your faith is as small as that, you will tell mountains. So what is Jesus literally telling them? There is no size, no distance. Faith does not respect size. Faith does not respect humongous structure. Faith does not respect distance. If it is faith, it is faith. It can pull down any mountain. You will tell mountains to be lifted and fall into sea. It did not say river. That is talking about the faith commanding attention of nations. Anywhere you see sea in the Bible, it's talking about nations of people. It means by faith, we hit these nations of people with unimaginable manifestations, nations. We are sent to nations, tribes. CNS is a nation. Praise God. When I began to read church history, I began to understand that we have not started. I'm telling you the truth. All of this, that's why it pains me when people don't come to listen. This is a preparation. It's a preparation for the last move of God in the end time. God is preparing us through his word. Acts 20 and verse 32. I commend you to the word of grace, which is able to build you up and to make you to partake in the inheritance among the sanctified. Able to build you. God is building the church. I'm telling you. He's building. He's raising teachers of the word everywhere, apostles, building people, building them, preaching the word of faith. Romans chapter 10, he said, this same word that we preach, which is the word of faith, this same word was what they heard from Christ, and they became crazy for him. They walked in dimensions unimaginable. This same word, it has not changed. It's this same word that we preach, the word of faith.
Praise God.
See, we have been able to look into just two scriptures today, but the Lord has been helping us powerfully.
We may have to stop here. Time is up.
But beloved, we started by seeing Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, how the Bible said that the just shall live by faith. And we saw in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified in Christ. The life I now live is by faith. Look at that analogy. The life I now live is in Christ by faith. What is Paul saying? I now live a faith life. The human man in me died. So when I woke up, the day I gave my life to Christ, I woke up into another life called faith life. A life that has never failed and that will never fail. Ever. It has been proven. So to the same proportion, to the same measure that you understand this thing, is to the same degree that we do exploit in life. The same degree. If you understand this thing well, listen to me, you can just be going home now. When this understanding is done on you, and one blind man will do like this, and say, give me money, and you touch the person, oh, let your eyes be open, and it will happen. It looks like, can this be real? If the result has been proven, men that their accounts were written in Hebrew 11, we saw their result. It was not just said that they had faith. We saw what they did with the faith. That was what was recorded. Their faith produced results. It was evidence. The Bible said they wrought miracles. They achieved the unimaginable. They shut the mouth of lions. They received their dead back to life. Wow. They received their dead back to life by faith. I'm telling you this. This is very prophetic. Things you least imagine will happen this last days through our hands. Go and write this down. You will see. You will remember all these things that I'm telling you. You will remember. That's why the Lord is asking us to teach this, to build you. This beyond pastor is beyond, is everybody. The harvest is due. So laborers must be recruited. How do you recruit them? Through building, by the word of faith. He said the same word that we preach, which is the word of faith, is able to build you.
Praise God. Let's ask question, please.
We're able to look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, where Apostle Paul said, I heard of the faith that was in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. I know, I am persuaded that the same faith is in you, Timothy. And Apostle Paul began to break down from there, acknowledging the faith that was in Timothy. And he went down and began to say, he said, let this same faith tear up the gift, the precious gift that was given unto you by the laying of hands. Faith, what Apostle Paul was saying is that your grandmother had a testimony of a faith result. He said, I have the memory. Let me read it to you. Apostle Paul knew the grandmother of Timothy and he knew his mother. How? Their faith life produced results. That was what Apostle Paul was saying. Look at it. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother, Lois. A faith that first, you know, says, it means in the family of Timothy, what they were literally doing is this. They taught their children this same thing I'm teaching you. Such that Paul recognized that these people walked in such a dimension of faith that he could call up the memories of their faith life and said, the same faith was in your mother, Lois. He now said, I am persuaded that you have been taught the same thing. You have the same faith life. So it was a transfer of knowledge, not gene. It was a transfer of knowledge. The word that we preach, the word of faith. So as they taught their children, faith was supplied from one generation to the other. If you look at the scripture where the Bible was talking to Joshua, he said, do not let this word depart from thy eyes. Meditate upon it day and night. He now says something there. He said, pass it on to your sons. So you could remember in the scripture where he stood up and he said, I, that same Joshua, when there was division in the camp, he said, I and my household. We will what? He was sure he has passed it on to his own household. That faith life. Praise God. Is that clear? So it was a transfer of knowledge. It was a transfer. The knowledge of the word was transferred and it supplied faith. From the grandmother to the grandmother Lois to the mother Eunice, and the mother supplied it. And so Apostle Paul knew the history of the family, that they wrought miracles, that they had results. Before he could say, I know, I could remember, it means the grandmother of Timothy had evidence. Her faith life was not just a fake one. It was a faith life that produced results.
Praise God. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8. But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. The word, the message, the basis, the object of faith which we preach.
So anywhere the word is being preached, it produces faith. It supplies faith. It stirs faith.
Praise God. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus.
Days are coming when after you hear words like this, you will be so stirred in your spirit, you go on the street and start healing people. Faith can engineer you to that point. You go on the street literally and start touching people and healing will start.
Praise God.
Spirit Life CNS Church invites you to join our programs. We are the Word of God. We transform your life for better. Our programs are as follows. Sunday service, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesdays, Bible studies, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Our monthly VGOs every last Friday of every month by 10 p.m. to down. Business and Leadership Summit every quarter of the year. Prayer and Prophetic Summit, second Friday of every month, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Under the leadership of the presiding shepherd, Prophet Cheru of Badari. Worship with us at Spirit Life CNS Church, opposite one filling station, beside Olashew filling station, Iwo Road, Ibadan. Telephone 081-32-529517, 070-19-27-7557, 0067-32-5748. Website www.spiritlifecns.com. Come and live the word of God by proof. Your life will never remain the same. Jesus is Lord.